Thank you, Chris, and our thanks to the whole worship team for helping engage us in worship, singing, praying, reflecting. Would you turn, please, in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. As you're doing that, I want to alert you to this fact. You'll see that there are two microphone stands right here. And this is our witness stand. From time to time, we've done this. Not so often recently, but I'm wondering how we could do this even with the streaming service that we have. Urias is in back, and he's taking care of the sound and all. And that includes these cameras. We've asked a couple of young men if they would come and man those cameras during the witness stand, so people that are watching the service at home might, if you've got a testimony, something you would like to share with us, at the end of the message, as it's not so much the end of the message, but as an extension of the message, we'd like you to share. Even if it's related to the fruit of the Spirit that we're going to focus on today, great. If it's you want to update us on some other way that you've seen God's hand and something for which you're trusting the Lord. But we'll do that. We'll allow enough time for you to do that and have it still inside the time frame. And if we go beyond that, that'd be wonderful. The other night at the vigil that I announced with a text message, it was different than we might have expected, but it's an extended time with the Lord. And it was our sister church, El Calvario, who's actually part of us, they started doing this once a month. And it includes fellowship, it includes instruction in God's word, it includes prayer, and there was even some really great food. And so all the dynamics of fellowship were there. And a few of us stuck around till almost midnight. So we'll ask you to stay alert to that in the months ahead. Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16, put this in its context, through verse 23. Paul says this, and this is the key, verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature, or you'll not carry out the work of the flesh. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want to do. Reflecting back on what Paul said in Romans chapter 7. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. That can only go so far. Verse 19, the acts of the sinful nature, the deeds of the flesh, are obvious. Things like sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions and factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Just a little list. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is sweet success. No, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Let's pray. Father, as we look at your word, I pray that you'd lead us. I thank you that this Holy Spirit that we've been just reading about and talking about for many weeks, and that is promised and is here in us. Father, I pray that the Spirit would lead us at this time in the as we worship you, as we read and consider your word. We thank you, Lord, for leading us by the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So in this text, verses 22 and 23, as we consider the fruit of the Spirit, or as I said, this is sweet success. Sweet success, because this is the fruit of the Spirit. It is what the Spirit, this is the Spirit's work in you and me. And we've experienced sweet success. Not because we determined to be successful, to make something, make our lives matter in some way. No, this is what the Spirit does in us. The Spirit produces this. And we're the branches that Jesus spoke of in John chapter 15. We bear the fruit. We get to enjoy the fruit. And the people around us might see that fruit that's being lived out in us. But always remember, this success is the Spirit's success. And we just get to cooperate with God as we pay attention to the Holy Spirit and follow him. Follow what he says in so many ways, but definitely by his presence in us. So the fruit of the Spirit, we hope to consider three aspects of the fruit of the Spirit today: love, joy, and peace. I'm going to take a look at this kind of from a 10,000 foot level, just as we look down, because part of what these things are about is people sharing, you know, I've seen it. I've seen that fruit. I've seen it in one of my friends here. I've seen it in a missionary prayer letter that I read, or I in a note that somebody sent me. I saw it by the kindness and the goodness being worked in the life of some of my friends. I've seen the fruit. And sometimes I've seen it. It's been happening as I've been just simply bearing the fruit that is the Spirit's work in me. There are nine manifestations of the Spirit here. Nine manifestations, nine demonstrations of the Spirit. Interestingly enough, that all of these things we are commanded to do. But when we read this list, this is not saying, okay, now take this checklist off, make the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, mercy, self-control. No, we're not saying check it off and now go for it. See what you can do so that you can present this fruit to God. No. Again, this is the Spirit's work in us as we look to him for answers, as we listen, as we pay attention to the many ways he is present to equip us and take us down that road where these things happen. So, they're all commanded, but it's not a checklist. I'm going to work on all these things. We listen to the Spirit who is in us. Have you been listening? In the midst of doing life, have you been listening? From the youngest person here to the oldest, have we been listening to the Spirit? It's just one of those things we can all do. Regardless of what life experience you've had throughout the day, we can just, I'm listening, Lord. So lead me. Love. You know, it's interesting. We've been talking about law. In the context of Paul's writing and the writing of James, we hear love being referred to as the royal law of God, the royal law of Christ. What do we mean by that? Well, we got a picture. Jesus said to the man who said to him, "What's the greatest commandment?" And he said, "What? Love the Lord your God." That's a command. We need to love him, right? With all our, and you're thinking it, heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the royal law. But part of that royal law, Jesus said in the second great commandment, is love your neighbor as yourself. It's the royal law, right? So this is, all right, well, there it is. So you need to do that. So what's going to happen as we kind of wind our way through the day? As we wind our way through the day, we run into some things. We run into sometimes a need that somebody has. We run into sometimes resistance. We run into criticism. We run into maybe voices being raised or subtle things being said that hurt. And Jesus comes along and he says, and the Holy Spirit reminds us, this guy is your neighbor. This woman, this child, this person who's an irritant to you, that's your neighbor. So, you need to love this person. And much like Jesus said he did when people asked him, why are you doing what you're doing? And this is the Sabbath, after all. You're not supposed to be doing stuff like that on the Sabbath. He said, I'm listening, Father. I'm watching the Father. I see the Father loving this person and seeing this person's need. And I'm only doing what I see the Father doing today on this Sabbath day. I'm just doing what I see him doing. Now, Jesus is God. He's the third person of the Holy Trinity. He's God, the Son who humbled himself. But we know that in his humble state, Jesus needed to rely on the Father and the Spirit who was present. You know the account of Jesus being tempted by Satan in the wilderness. And wasn't that a clever use of scripture that he had in response to all the devil's temptations? It wasn't that it was clever. It wasn't like this was a great debate. What a great debate between Satan. Is this a lesson in proof texting Satan? It really leaning on the line? No, it's not. But boy, it's sure an example of what Jesus did. He's just listening to his own word. His own word. He who is the word. In fellowship with God, he's responding to the enemy. Jesus said, when in the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, he said, you know, you've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But I'm telling you this. Ow, this is the stinger, isn't it? Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Again, who might those people be? Do you have enemies? You hear when somebody's gotten into some horrible, you know, maybe met a horrible end to his life. And what happened? How did this happen? That this person came to such a violent death? Was it, did he do something to somebody? And people would say, well, he didn't have any enemies. He never had any enemies. Well, okay, let's bring this down to, the size of the people that sometimes feel like our enemies. Maybe it's that person who, when the company is downsizing, says something evil about you, and you end up losing your job. Kind of feels like an enemy, doesn't it? Well, they're just protecting themselves in that whole process. And again, it could be somebody that corrects you, somebody that confronts you, somebody that challenges you and your assumptions. Love your enemies. Love the lovely. Love those who can pay you back. But love those who everybody else thinks is a loser. Just love them and be there for them. I was thinking this last week, over the last couple of weeks, you know, as we get older, we run into certain limitations, and people that have been active and energetic and traveled and just keep plowing through life. If you live long enough, you get old. And you might feel really good today. You might be, everybody thinks you've got it all. You're energetic, and on top of that, your whole life is ahead of you. 70 years, or if due to strength, 80. Well, our friends from Calvary here, who haven't been around for a while, they haven't been sitting in their spot right over here, right on the center aisle. I haven't seen them for quite a while. Ken and Martha McGee are late 80s and early 90s. And they run into lots of walls. And sometimes the wall is laying on the ground. And a face plant ensues. But boy, do they have neighbors. We can all give thanks for their neighbors. Because they've got some amazing neighbors. Some of them know and have been following the Lord. And listening to the Spirit, they help pick them up off the ground. They find out, they realize they're not making sense right now. They're reflecting the fact that they're confused. Really confused, disoriented, and dizzy. And they pick one of them up and take them to the doctor, to the hospital, and check them through not just urgent care. I had that duty one day, but no. Check them through the ER, and then go back and follow up on them and meet with like a social worker or a caseworker who can help. This, you know what? Love takes time, doesn't it? It takes a lot of time. And then calls Martha's brother up in the Santa Barbara area, and they're there for them. And a neighbor walks across the street, actually sends his 19-year-old son over to give Ken his shot in the belly for his diabetes, blood sugar level. And that neighbor comes back across the street when Marilyn and I were there to visit. And he was helping Ken get to his feet. Love takes time, and it takes energy. But what it really takes is listening to the Spirit of God. And there's fruit. There's fruit that is discernible. The word that is most often used to really describe the love that Jesus practiced and the love that he tells us to get intimately involved in is... It is a love that is sacrificial. It's agape love. It's it counts the cost and it just says, well, this is what I need to do. This is what I need to put into this. We are here to love our enemies. Chris prayed for what's going on in Afghanistan. And all over the Middle East and the Far East, people are taking advantage of others and hurting people and killing people and warring with people. I was thinking about a book that I read a few years ago that our missionary, Jeff Barnison, suggested that we read, and the name of the book was Tea with Hezbollah. Hezbollah, one of the enemies of Israel. And these young men went throughout Jordan and Lebanon, the surrounding area, to meet with people, to have tea with people who were from Hezbollah, Israel's self-proclaimed enemy. They went around just asking, here's the question. It's just engaging people in conversations over tea. So here's the question. This is the only one. We're trying to hear what people have to say. You treat those of you who are from a Muslim background, you consider Jesus to be he's one of the prophets, a great, great teacher. So Jesus said, love your enemies. Tell me what you think about what Jesus, the prophet, had to say when he said, love your enemies. Did that ensue in a lot of conversations, many of which landed on the forehead of George Bush, who was, at that point when that book was being written, was the one whose policy was affecting the Middle East. Love, the fruit of the Spirit. What evidence have you seen? I've told you a couple stories of what's gone on, but maybe you want to share with us at the end of this message how you've seen this sweet fruit of the Spirit of love. The second one is joy. The joy. Again, joy is commanded. Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. Over and over again. We hear Jesus say, I've spoken these words to you today on this most chaotic and frightening day of our 3 years together. I've spoken these words to you that my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. Are you serious, Jesus? You've said you're going to be taken. You're going to be killed. You've said that one of us is going to betray you and one of us is going to deny you 3 times. Joy? This doesn't feel like a night full of joy. And he said, I've spoken these things to you, that my joy that goes far deeper, it is the joy that the author to Hebrews would talk about in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, who for the joy set before him endured the cross because of what he would accomplish on the cross for you and for me. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but it is in righteousness and joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy is just it's the outcome of people, no matter what the circumstances of life, that have the gaze of their soul on God's will and God's ways and the person, the character of God and the attributes of God. How wonderful the scripture that Chris read today from Psalm chapter 33. In the midst of all of this nation rising against nation, rulers, people who think that they have all the control, all the control. And Chris, in that context of all of that, turned our attention to the one who gives us joy, regardless of what's going on. I was thinking about, what do I have to make me joyful? Well, I'm thinking of time. I visited my best man in Beiling in northern Brazil. He was a Wycliffe Bible translator, base manager. I got to Beiling, spelled B-E-L-E-M, right on the Amazon, right on the equator. I thought I knew heat and humidity. I knew nothing about heat and humidity. I was taken immediately to a prayer meeting, and we bowed in prayer. 99 degrees and 99% humidity. I don't know, pretty close to both of those numbers. And as I listened to people praying, I thought, I'm going to pass out and maybe be dead on the floor before they say amen. I'm not kidding. It may sound like an exaggeration. I really thought I was going to die. And this was 6:30 in the morning. It hadn't even started to get hot. That afternoon, I saw one of the guys that was at the, he was a translator in from the jungle. And he was out for a run. A run? You'd be in air conditioning, but none of them had air conditioning. And I'm looking at this guy who's all sweaty, and as we're chatting, I could still see us standing there face to face. And I said, tell me about your work. And he said, my wife and I have been in the jungle doing this translation work month after month for 16 years. And he said it was probably 12 years before we saw the first person come to Christ and trust Christ as their Savior and Lord. And when that first person came to Christ, and knowing just what we'd done for all of this, he said, I came to the realization, for the joy of that moment, that I'm sure Jesus would have gone to the cross for just one. For just one. That's the economy of salvation. That is the economy of joy. Some of you were knew about Jacob. You heard about Jacob, and one of our missionaries and our dear friend, who was in Pakistan for years and then working with Muslims in Afghanistan as well, and East London. He told us about Jacob, who was trying to get out of Afghanistan because he had helped the United States as a translator. And he was needing to get out, and he wrote our friend, Tom, and said, do you have any channels that will work for me to get out? And I thought, I'm reading the letter. I'm part of this. Tom is asking me and everybody else, do you have any channels to get this person out? And I can say that after all of this, and Jacob was sending text messages and email messages, and they were relayed to the people that pray with Tom. I mean, this is real time. This is the real deal. Jacob was going to have to leave his wife, who wanted to stay, and a couple of his kids. And his parents, he had to leave them.
And yesterday he arrived in the UK because of just as pieces just come together as people pray. And the joy that he expressed, the joy that Tom shared, I'm not going to turn to it, but just write this text down. 1 Chronicles 16, verses 8 through 10. I think of my friend Ron, who's now with the Lord. And Ron was in the study that I was in, and man, the last 3 years of getting to know Ron in the context of Jim and Jack, as we would meet every week for breakfast and study together and be very, very transparent and share that, very transparent. I wouldn't trade this for anything in life. That transparency and honesty that in the journey. I mean, to think, here's a guy that's in his 80s, who's as fresh as can be, not because, oh man, he's just got a sharp mind. He was a youth speaker in camps, and he was the chaplain over at Biola, and funny as a stitch. He preached for me a couple of years ago here, full of energy. But one thing I learned from Ron, and we would say this over and over again, as we'd look eye to eye, and he'd say in our gatherings, he'd say, well, every day I get up and I say this, I choose joy. I choose joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. No matter what's going wrong, no matter what body system is failing, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It has to do with the gaze of the soul, discovering the love of God and the joy of God. Well, I'm going to stop. And I'm going to stop so that we have some time. Right now, I'll ask the young guys that we're going to help. I told them they could come down when I talk about peace, but I think I'll just as soon talk about that next week. And one of the questions in your notes, it is the question, describe some of your experiences with the peace of God. And I give you a text that has been really meaningful to me, Psalm 34, verse 14. But we'll talk about that next week. We'll do maybe two more next week. But maybe you'd like to share with us some of the sweet success that you've been able to witness. The mics are here. You come up and you just speak. And we'd be delighted to hear from you. I'm not going to wait a long time. If you want me to close in prayer, just stay where you are. But if you'd like to share, you've got something that you want to share the joy of the Lord. You want to share something about a testimony of having witnessed how God did something in your life, and you know, loving people is not. I had a mushy feeling about them. Love is action. The fruit of the Spirit is action, loving people. When have you witnessed something like that? I'll wait about 3 minutes at the most. We're going to do this regularly, so get used to it. Right there, and Leighton and Josiah are going to make sure people at home can see you.
I don't want to do this in that thing there. I'd rather do it in public. But anyway, I'm not saying a real big praise, but...
Don't look at me.
Okay, so I'm actually representing a friend of mine named Olga Nava, who is a missionary in Afghanistan for 20 years. She just got back in April, and we had a dinner for her, like a retirement dinner, a few weeks ago. And so I called her last Sunday to find out what she knows about what's going on in Afghanistan. She has a lot of friends and new Christian believers who are trapped there. She's been trying. She told me the day that I talked to her that she was going to be up all night trying to coordinate with the people she knows in America to try to get people out from there. And so this is a personal thing, you know, that she knows people that were her, people who worked with her every day for those 20 years that she lived there. And, you know, it's really, really sad to me to think that people that are young people who grew up having a little bit of freedom, having a chance to be able to go out and go to school, those things were becoming a reality, and now it's basically all over. So there's a lot of things to pray for. I just wrote down a couple of things. She and another Christian lady I know that's in charge of missions organization in Europe is leading a prayer vigil. She's asking people on the West Coast, because she does this throughout the whole United States. She's asking people on the West Coast to pray from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock. So that's like dinner time or right after dinner when you take your walk. Pray for Afghanistan, and these are the specific things. To pray for Christians, the young Christian, the new Christian church. It's a small, you know, Christian church that some of them will be there and they won't be able to get out, and pray that they have courage. She's calling them, the people who have died over the last 2 weeks, martyrs. So this is actually a martyrship situation. It's not just bringing people out who don't want to live there because they don't like the weather. This is people who are dying because of their faith. Protection for the military. There's still military right there that are trying to get people out over the next 72 hours. Of course, you guys know that it's really, really serious over the next 72 hours. So pray for the military. Pray for the children and women who are always victims. And just pray for there's about 500 Americans still trying to get out. I mean, these are Americans that were there to help other people. These are like NGOs and people like that. I mean, my sister was a missionary for many years, too, so it's real personal. Anyway, so the military to protect people, that children and women can be protected, and as many people can get out, and for us to probably try to get as many Americans out as possible, and also for the church that's going to be remaining there, that somehow God just does a miracle, and we see maybe a complete change in the Taliban. Maybe they will. Many of the leaders will come to know the Lord. I mean, I guess that's the ultimate goal, right? So just join with us in prayer for the people there, and especially over the next 72 hours, and then like maybe for a week. If you guys could just pray. She was asking me for specific people so I could have a name of people. So if you want to tell me that you want to pray for this week, let me know. I'll be in the back. So I really appreciate it, and thank you guys.
Thank you. Somebody want to pray for that right now where you are? Good, thank you.
Let's pray. Father, we just come to you today and just ask that you just help those people that are in Afghanistan right now. If they are if they're at the airport trying to get out, we know that there's been some threats there, that other people who don't want them out are trying to keep them from going. We just pray that you protect them, Lord. Open the doors, open the gates for those that are still, that you want to get out, those that you want to get out so that they can share and network and be able to find ways to protect their own families, Lord. We pray for the military, Lord. I pray that you protect each one of those young soldiers over there that are trying to just help people. Pray for their protection, and also just that you would give them strength and perseverance to do their jobs. And we pray for just the different people that may be left behind, Lord. We ask that you would give them courage and just give them peace, that they know you, Lord, and that regardless of what happens, they're going to be with you if they're taken. But Lord, I just pray that you would strengthen the small Christian church that's starting there, that you would give them just the ability to share their faith before anything happens to them, Lord. And I just pray that you would remind each one of the members here today that this is These are fellow believers that are in need, and I ask that during the week you would bring this to their mind as they go about their daily life, that they would just pray whenever they can for the people that are struggling there. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good time for one more. Thank you, Jim.
In Galatians, we've been studying one of the scriptures there, walk in the Spirit. And I've been having trouble the last 2 years walking. This morning, some friends here, because of their love, so the Spirit of God is very active, presented me with an upright walker. I want to say thank you. And I trust that this will be an evidence of God's Spirit in my life, that I might continue to walk in the Spirit and to walk in the flesh uprightly. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Jim. What a dear brother. Thank you. Well, we'll do this some more. We'll be talking next week about peace and patience. What's that fruit look like? What are you seeing all around you? What's God producing in your life? Would you stand with me, please? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for sending the Spirit to keenly focus the gaze of our souls on you, to know and understand your will and your ways. And we know, Lord, we're living our lives playing for keeps with no reruns. We just want to move forward and walk in the Spirit. And we trust you by the Spirit to produce in us love and joy, peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. With no law to make these happen, but that the Spirit produces that fruit in us. Thanks, Father. May we lift you up in our daily lives, and be ready at all times to tell people why we have hope. Father, for those families, those people, service people that we've seen their names and their faces, we pray for their families in their loss and agony of spirit. And as Chris prayed earlier, we pray for all those whose lives have been snuffed out. And we pray for their families, Lord. That's who we pray for. And we pray, Lord, that you would minister to their deep needs. And Father, as we've been learning from those who minister in Muslim communities and to people who look at Jesus as a great prophet, one of your greatest prophets, we pray that people would turn to Jesus, that they would come to him as their Savior and Lord. Now, Lord, we bless your name, and we lean on you. In Jesus' name, amen.